Questions 6 through 11. Listen to a lecture in a gemology class.
Today I'll be talking about different styles of gem cutting, particularly about how these different styles developed historically. The various styles of gems that I'll be talking about are the cabochon, the table cut, the rose cut, and the brilliant cut. The first style of gem cutting, which you can see in this drawing, is the cabochon. The cabochon is a rounded shape without facets. The cabochon style is quite old. It was the earliest style used to finish gems. The cabochons in these drawings are shown from the side. A cabochon could be a simple cabochon with a rounded top and a flat bottom, or it could be a double cabochon, which is rounded on both the top and the bottom. It was discovered early on that powders of harder material, such as diamonds, could be used to polish gemstones, and many ancient cultures used this method to finish gems. The cabochon cut was not a faceted cut. A facet, for those of you who don't know, is a flat surface cut into a gem. It's not clear when faceting of stones first developed. Stones were faceted as early as the 15th century in Europe, and they may have been faceted earlier than that in other cultures. Now we'll look at one of the earliest styles of faceted gems, the table cut. You can see a table cut stone from the top and from the side in these drawings. An interesting thing to note is that early stones faceted in this way were probably not actually cut, but were polished to this shape using powders of harder stones such as diamonds. It does look like it was cut, but this stone was polished to this shape. Some stones, including diamonds, occur naturally in eight-sided double pyramids. To create a table cut from an eight-sided double pyramid, it's necessary only to polish a flat surface on the top of one side of the naturally occurring eight-sided shapes. The next stage in the development of gem cutting is the rose cut. In a rose cut, a stone is actually cut rather than polished. This was one of the earliest methods of faceting the entire surface of a diamond or other gem. It's a very pretty cut, isn't it? As you can tell from its name, it's supposed to look like a rose in bloom. The rose cut involved cutting up to 32 triangular facets on the top of a diamond and a flat surface on the bottom. You can see a rose cut in the drawing from the top and from the bottom. Oh, excuse me, that's a top view and a side view. There's no bottom view of the rose cut. Now, you should note that this type of cut was beneficial because it maintained much of the original stone. However, it doesn't reflect light in a way that maximizes the stone's shine and brilliance. Because it doesn't reflect light as well as other cuts, the rose cut's no longer used much today. The last type of cut we'll look at is the brilliant cut. The brilliant cut came into use after the other styles. You can see a brilliant cut from the top, from the side, and from the bottom. The brilliant cut's faceted on the sides and top, and also on the bottom. A stone with a brilliant cut in the correct proportion reflects the maximum amount of light out through the top of the stone, and creates a stone that, as its name indicates, shines the most brilliantly. This style of stone is used quite often today because it's so reflective. We've seen four different styles of gems today, in the order that they developed historically. Two of them, the cabochon and the table cut, are polished rather than cut to create the style, while the other two are actually cut. Before next class, please look over the photos of gems at the end of the chapter and identify the style of each stone.